Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As Pastor Snow mentioned, the first scripture reading for tonight, All Saints Eve for tonight, tomorrow All Saints Day, All Hallows Eve for tonight, from Revelation chapter 7, I share with you again John's question and the answer. Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" John answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Who are these? We would say they're saints. We confess about saints every time we say the Apostles' Creed. We'll use it again in just a little bit. I believe in the Holy Christian Church, the Communion of Saints. What do you mean when you say the Communion of Saints? Who is included as you think of the Communion of Saints? Take Life at Holy Cross for just a moment and write down five saints. You've got some room right there in the front. There's pencil in the pew. I'll give you a minute. Write down five saints. Did I give you enough time? You have 10 or 15 of them? Probably so, if you get started, maybe. As you wrote down the saints, and as you think about the communion of saints, did you think of St. Matthew, St. Mark, St. Luke, St. John? Those are the easy ones, right? St. Peter, St. Paul, you know, some of the apostles. Those are some of the easy ones. You could include them. Did you also think about St. Nicholas, St. Valentine, St. Patrick, St. Francis of Assisi, some of these folks that, you know, we talk about as saints? Did you think about maybe some of our church fathers, St. Augustine, or maybe Martin Luther, it's Reformation time, or maybe Martin Chemnitz, or one of the church fathers, saints that we talk about? Did you write down your grandparents' name? Are they alive or are they dead? Did you write down your parents' name? Did you write down your children's name? Did you write down the person sitting next to you in the pew as a saint? Would you write down your neighbor's name as a saint? Did you write down your name? Did you write down your name as you think about who a saint is? Kind of interesting as we think about this, isn't it? It kind of determines, it's determined by what your definition of a saint is, by whom you consider a saint and who you write down as a saint. A number of years ago, I read that there was a former Jesuit missionary, and I'll butcher his name because it's a Hispanic name, Juanapero Serra, I think is what it's pronounced. It doesn't make any difference. But he was commended for sainthood in the Roman Catholic Church because back in the 1700s, he started a bunch of missions in Mexico and in what's in California now, in the 1700s. Many missions that he started. But it came up that it said, nope, he can't be a saint unless there are two miracles proven that he did. Two miracles that you had to prove that he did. What's their definition of sainthood? It's a definition of somebody who has to do at least two miracles and a lot of other good things as well. Is that what we think about as saints? People who do things that are better than others and people who do these very special kinds of things? If so, would your name be on the list? If so, would that person sitting next to you in the pew? No, we won't talk about that. But if it determines, sainthood determines what we do, how many names would be on that list? The Apostle Paul, or the Apostle John, first of all, writes and says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Right. And the truth is not in us. The scriptures tell us that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Of course we know we're sinners. That's why the title for tonight is For All the Saints and Sinners. Yes, we know that we are sinners. And yet the scriptures over and over and over again, as the Apostle Paul writes, he writes to the saints in Christ Jesus at Rome, at Corinth, at Ephesus, at Philippi. In fact, somebody counted once, 60 times in the Bible, it refers to God's people as saints. So what's the definition that the scriptures use? What's the definition that we use as we say, I believe in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints? We use what the scriptures teach us. It is only by God's grace. Paul talks to us about how it is that we become saints. As he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he writes, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And I'll pause for a minute and ask, who did he leave out? Nobody. He pretty well covered all of us. "And that's what some of you were," he writes, "but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Saints. Saints are those who have been washed. Washed with the waters of holy baptism. Washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. Washed clean of all sins. It's what God has done for us. And once we've been washed, then we've been sanctified, made holy, kept holy, God continuing to work in our hearts and in our lives. And we are justified. That's a legal term. Justified, that the justice has been done. And that because of Jesus Christ, we are just and holy saints and not condemned as sinners. What's a saint? A saint is a person who is washed and sanctified and justified by what Jesus Christ has done for you and for me. I was going to start off the sermon with this story, decided I wanted to start off with the communion of saints, but I thought about entitling the sermon tonight, Buried Alive. It's kind of a Halloweenish thing, isn't it? Buried Alive sounds kind of spooky and ghoulish and so on. But I wanted to share it because it teaches this very truth of God's Word. It's based upon a true book. It's a book that was written back in the 1950s about an artist who was very shy and did not want, he was a famous artist, and he didn't want all the fanfare that was there. And what happened was his assistant suddenly died. Well, nobody knew who his assistant was, so he took his assistant's identity and let it be out that he had died. He switched identities with them. Well, for a while it was great. This artist could be all by himself and continue in the quietness of his life until he heard how the people were talking about him. How the people were talking about how his life was, and the whole story gets into all kinds of difficulties. That was a make-believe story. That was a novel that was written, but it actually did happen. It actually did happen as the inventor of dynamite, as the inventor of dynamite, Alfred Nobel, his brother had died. Maybe you've heard the story. Alfred Nobel developed how dynamite could work, and he became very, very rich and became known as the Dynamite King. Well, Alfred Nobel, his name was well known. And when his brother died, some reporter got it wrong. And some reporter put in the newspaper that it was Alfred Nobel who died. So Alfred was able to read his own obituary. He was able to read what people were saying about him. And what people were saying is, Oh, he got rich on dynamite. And dynamite at that time was the worst destructive kind of thing that there was. And he was known as the destructive kind of a person. Well, Alfred Nobel decided he did not want to be remembered that way. He didn't want to be remembered for destruction, and so he then left in his will all of his earnings and all of his riches and established the Nobel Peace Prize. The Nobel Peace Prize, so now Alfred Nobel is not remembered for destruction, but for peace. How will people remember you? How will people remember you? Will they remember you as sinner or saint? Those of you who know me, you know the answer is yes. We are sinner, saint, aren't we? God's word tells us that we are sinner and saint. And yet because of Jesus Christ, he changes us from sinner into saint and continues to work in us and in our hearts and in our lives. Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me. The hymn that we sing and how wonderful that is. God's word tells us if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, that's what we did, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sins. Sinner, saint, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, changed as Jesus Christ does that for us. For you see, only holy people can go to heaven. Only holy people can stand before the presence of God. And did you catch that in Revelation 7? Pastor Snow told us, this is John seeing a vision of heaven. And so this person asks John, who are these in the white robes standing in heaven before God? And the answer is, these are the saints. These are they who have come out of the great tribulation, the world in which we live. What a tribulation we live in here. They have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and have made them white. Who are these standing before the throne of God? They are you and me as forgiven sinners and saints because of Jesus Christ, because of the blood of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Isaiah writes about it. Isaiah writes in Isaiah chapter 1, come now, let us talk this out. Let's reason together. Let me help you to understand, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Jesus' blood is what comes and washes our sins away, no matter how bad the stains are, no matter how many sins that there are. We heard it just a few moments ago. Pastor Snow says, your sins are all forgiven. And we know that God's word tells us that as the pastor, as the called minister, speaks that to us, it's God's word speaking that to us. We are washed and cleansed and have that whiteness of Jesus Christ. How interesting to make things white by blood. But only the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses sins. Nothing else can take sins away, but Jesus Christ does. And that's why we come to his Lord's Supper once again, isn't it? That's why Jesus gave that to us to remind us that as we receive his body and blood, his very blood, given and shed for the forgiveness of our sins, we live now as forgiven sinners, as his saints, and it changes us. It changes us. It changes us so much that we are blessed. All Saints Weekend. Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, the Blesseds, all the Blesseds. Oh, how blessed we are. Blessed because we're washed and sanctified and justified. Blessed because we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Blessed because we are different people. We are different people who live in a sinful world. He works in us and changes us so that we may be his saints and live as his saints. Ah, yes, tonight, once again, blessed by his word and sacraments, blessed as his changed people, blessed to go out into the world to be that blessing to others, to those who don't yet have Jesus Christ, to those who don't yet know the forgiveness of sins, to those who don't yet call Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. What a joy, what a privilege that we have as we live blessed lives and as we live as Jesus' saints in the world. May God grant that, continue to grant that to you and to me until life everlasting. Amen. The peace of God that passes all our understanding, keep our hearts and our minds as saints in Jesus Christ until our eternal home in heaven. Amen.